Thank you so much for coming, everybody. Can everyone hear me? So I'm Caitlin Cross-Barnett, and I am presenting this with my research group from the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health and from the Maryland WIC program, Maryland State Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. I don't have any relationships to disclose, but if anybody wants to give me lots of money, I'd be happy to disclose it. So to start off with, just talk a little bit about smoking among new mothers. Smoking, even prenatally, you know, which we know has a lot of risks for things like preterm birth and so on and so forth, has a lot of postpartum consequences. So some things like placenta previa, placental abruption, stillbirth, birth defects such as a cleft palate, preterm birth, low birth weight infants, and all of those things are going to carry on as after effects either for the mother, you know, grieving a fetal loss, or for the infant who has to sustain the disadvantages of a birth defect or the consequences of being born at a very low birth weight. Postpartum smoking among new mothers has its own set of risks, including an increased risk of sudden infant death syndrome, slower lung growth, ear infections, respiratory illness, and asthma. So the data that I'm going to be presenting from the Maryland WIC program is from 2007, and that's why I have the 2007 smoking rates. That's the last year in Maryland WIC that the data has actually been processed, although things have not changed dramatically since then. You know, things will move around a little bit, but for the most part, you know, the statistics that I've been able to check are not, you know, we're not seeing any kind of dramatic change. So in the U.S., about 17.4% of adult women were smoking in 2007. You can see it's actually highest, interestingly, among white women, and I put down these age groups because those are, you know, where we are expecting women to be bearing children for the most part. Smoking is higher among the very poor and those with lower levels of education. The no diploma category would include younger women who haven't actually had a chance to graduate yet, which explains part of why that level is lower than those with a GED. So in considering smoking in Maryland, the Maryland PRAMS data shows that about over 9% of the women surveyed reported smoking during the last 3 months of pregnancy. Smoking was most prevalent among white non-Hispanic mothers, younger mothers, and then mothers who were living in rural areas, so in western Maryland and on the eastern shore and in southern Maryland. Smoking prevalence was much higher among women who had a delivery paid for by Medicaid, which of course is a good indicator for poverty, at 14% as compared to women with private insurance who had a rate at half that. So about half of all women do quit smoking during pregnancy if they're smoking at the time of conception. You know, and it varies exactly when they quit. You know, they will quit all the way through pregnancy, but with most of them quitting sometime in the second trimester. About half of those who quit relapse within about 6 months after delivery, and some do that by intention. Some women during pregnancy will say, I'm not smoking because I'm pregnant, but I can't wait till this baby is born so I can start smoking again. But some of them don't intend to relapse. They do have a goal of continuing not to smoke, and they're much more likely to relapse if there are other smokers in the household. So mothers who don't relapse are more likely to breastfeed, and I did a qualitative project with Maryland WIC where we would have moms who would say, oh, I couldn't breastfeed because I smoke. As an interviewer, we were not correcting any kind of information, but if the peer counselors told them, actually, you can smoke and breastfeed, they would get really mad. Because for some of them, it was what we call a ready excuse. They didn't want to breastfeed, and it was like a way out to say, oh, well, I can't. And they would be very irritated if that was taken away from them. But mothers who breastfeed are also less likely to relapse. So the breastfeeding works as sort of a motivator for a lot of moms to continue not smoking. So what are the risks of breastfeeding as a smoker? One of the things that's really important to remember is that most of the risks of breastfeeding while smoking come from the smoking, and they affect both breastfed and bottle-fed infants equally because it's the exposure to the secondhand smoke. So while it is not a good idea to smoke with an infant in the house, and that we definitely would want to encourage people who were around infants not to smoke, it's not really the breastfeeding that's causing the risk. It's the exposure to that secondhand smoke or even third-hand smoke on clothing and so on and so forth. And it's not just the mother smoking that's a problem. It's anybody smoking in the household that's causing those kinds of risks to the infant. There are a few risks specific to breastfeeding from smoking. Sometimes moms seem to have lower milk volume if they smoke. They are more likely to wean early, and then sometimes that's, again, because they want to increase their number of cigarettes or because they are having some trouble with milk production. And sometimes they report having a delayed, what's called a letdown reflex. For those of you who aren't breastfeeding savvy, you know, when mom's nursing, it can sometimes take a little bit before the milk actually starts to flow, and that's called the letdown. And so sometimes it takes a little longer for a smoking mom for that to happen with her milk. So we might question, is it then medically advisable for a mother to breastfeed if she does smoke? You can't see this very well, but it says women who smoke feed more than just milk to their children. And this is some sort of public service ad. And common wisdom often is that if you smoke, you shouldn't breastfeed. And if you're taking any kind of medication, you couldn't breastfeed. There's often this perception, even by physicians, that any kind of substance you're taking into your body comes out through your milk and you're going to poison your child and terrible things will happen. But actually, that's not really the case. It is medically advisable to breastfeed if you smoke. In fact, most medications are safe to use while breastfeeding. It's not true for all of them, and it's very important to check and make sure that you know what you're doing and that you don't just assume it's all right. But there's a saying that the medications go in milligrams and come out in micrograms. And I think what confuses a lot of people is that during pregnancy, because the placenta, offers just a conduit between the mother's bloodstream and the baby really is, or the fetus, is getting whatever the mother is ingesting in pretty much whatever quantity the mother is getting it. The breast works very, very differently. It almost works like a filter. And so what goes through the breast milk is not like what goes through the bloodstream. Very little tends to come out. It also depends on things like molecular weight and the efficiency of oral absorption. So there are all kinds of factors that affect like what medications might be safe versus not safe to use while breastfeeding. But the contaminants in cigarettes in general are not considered to come through the milk in quantities that are harmful enough to outweigh the benefits that come with breastfeeding. In addition, breastfeeding offers protective factors against some of the problems that come with smoking, like SIDS and respiratory illnesses. So actually, even if the mother's smoking, it's protective. Now, of course, again, we want to discourage mothers from smoking because all that secondhand smoke around the baby is going to be problematic, but it's not really what's coming through her milk that's the problem for the baby. It's the exposure to the smoke. The other thing to remember is that, of course, formula comes with its own set of risks. And so when we're saying, oh, there may be risks if the mother is breastfeeding and smoking, we also have to consider the risks that come with formula feeding rather than breastfeeding, and that cows are not generally, not exposed to any toxins. So, any formula that's made from cow's milk is bringing forth all the toxins that cow has ingested over time. And people often don't really think about things in those terms. So, recommendations from major health organizations do indicate that if you do smoke, that you should still breastfeed. So the American Academy of Pediatrics statement is that smoking cigarettes is not a reason not to breastfeed. From the Centers for Disease Control, breast milk remains the ideal food for a baby, even if the mother smokes. And from La Leche League, which of course isn't a medical organization but goes under much medical advice, if a mother smokes cigarettes, her baby can still enjoy the benefits of breastfeeding. So in considering breastfeeding in the Maryland WIC program, the national initiation rate for breastfeeding in 2007 to 2009 was around 75%. The Maryland initiation rate a little higher. The Maryland WIC initiation was only 55%. My colleague, who is the breastfeeding coordinator for Maryland WIC, wanted me to tell you that it is now 64%. So just letting you know. So our non-Hispanic black and white mothers have had the lowest rates and they were pretty comparable, usually within a few tenths of a percentage point of one another, and they would often flip from year to year. But the black and white moms, non-Hispanic, were breastfeeding at about the same rate, initiation rate of around 50%. Maryland WIC does a lot to promote breastfeeding as the normal way to feed babies. In WIC clinics, they are not allowed to have any images or advertising related to formula or artificial nipples, such as pacifiers. They offer augmented food packages for breastfeeding mothers and for exclusively breastfed babies once they begin on solids. They offer breastfeeding peer counselor services at most of the WIC agencies in the state of Maryland, and actually throughout the United States, they commonly have breastfeeding peer counselor programs. They have lactation consultants available at many clinics, and they offer breastfeeding supplies for free, which includes pumps. Hand pumps any mom can get, and then who's breastfeeding, and then an electric pump if she's returning to work or to school. So this sample is from the 2000 Maryland WIC Management Information System. Basically, when a woman comes in to get certified, information is entered about her into a computer system, and that's stored in a statewide database for all mothers who are enrolled in Maryland WIC. So I pulled all of the mothers who registered in 2007 who self-identified as non-Hispanic, Black, or white. I did pull out anybody who offered multiple racial identifications and anybody who self-identified as Hispanic, Asian, Native American, anything else. Native American women actually have the highest rates of smoking in the United States, but the Native American population in Maryland is so negligible, it didn't make any sense to include them. There are like three of them. So we looked at four factors that had universal answers, because a lot of the questions were optional to answer, but some of them were required. So the mother's self-reported smoking status, which was a required answer, her use of Medicaid, the food stamps, the SNAP program, temporary cash assistance, which is TANF in some other states, the food package that she got, whether she registered with WIC as an exclusive breastfeeder, a partial breastfeeder, or exclusive formula feeder, and whether or not she had a cesarean birth. So these are just the basic characteristics of the moms, and you can see that the majority of them did register as exclusive formula feeders, relatively balanced between Black and white, slightly more Black than white. And this does include some African and Caribbean immigrants, which is why I'm saying Black rather than African American. The assistance program participation, the majority of mothers were receiving Medicaid because they were still within their 60 days postpartum when they registered. Many fewer getting food stamps or temporary cash assistance. So if you look at how many were receiving assistance from another program, how many smoked cigarettes, the certification, and this again is postpartum certification, so then and very shortly after birth, usually within 3 weeks after giving birth is when they register. So almost 11%, and this again is self-reported. And then a little over a quarter of them had a cesarean birth. So we did a logistic regression analysis using STATA software with some supplemental cross-tabulations of relevant categories. And we looked at the odds of breastfeeding partially or formula feeding against the reference category of breastfeeding exclusively. So how likely were you not to breastfeed exclusively to go into one of these other categories if you had these other factors? So the reference category for race was whites, the reference category for smoking was the non-smokers, for assistance programs it was not using any program other than WIC, and for cesarean it was having a vaginal birth. So some of the limitations of this data was that they are self-reported by the moms. The data was before the WIC food package changes that began in 2010, which they did offer supplemental food for breastfeeding moms even before that, but the package got much better. Data was collected at postpartum WIC registration, and so is going to underrepresent breastfeeding initiation because we're talking to them usually a few weeks after they've had the baby. And the data are from Maryland only, and so they don't necessarily represent other states. But this was the entire population of Black and white moms who registered in Maryland in 2007. So the results. If we look at smoking status by poverty level, and if we use the number of assistance programs one is on as a kind of proxy for poverty, you can see that the smoking rate goes way up. So only 5% of women who are only using WIC self-report smoking, but 21% who are using two or more public assistance programs are reporting that they smoke. So the odds ratios, feeding methods by maternal characteristics, is we do see an increase in the odds of formula feeding if the mom is Black and if she has a cesarean. When I ran this model with, if you run this model with only one of these, it comes out highly significant. You know, if you run this assistance programs rather without the smoking, it comes out as highly significant because of the chart that I showed you before. The fact that you're so much more likely to smoke if you're on a higher number of assistance programs is actually what drives this. And so women who smoke are more than five times more likely than women who do not to exclusively formula feed rather than to breastfeed. What's interesting is that they're not any more likely to partially breastfeed. So what this indicates is that women who are smoking are either breastfeeding or they're not. You know, they're not doing this middle road. And that the majority of them are choosing not to breastfeed at all. So this is what I just said. So we have to realize that smoking cessation is very, very important, and that we really want to encourage moms, if they quit during pregnancy, not to relapse. If they didn't quit during pregnancy, we really want to encourage them to consider quitting for their own health and for their infant's health. It's often a very highly motivated time for moms, you know, in thinking, because they're not just thinking about themselves and their own health, but also thinking about the health of this other person. But breastfeeding is also really important, and we don't want to use not being able to breastfeed as sort of as a threat with mothers, you know, to get them not to smoke. Well, if you're smoking, you shouldn't breastfeed, or you know, you're going to be passing all these toxins on through your milk to your baby if you keep smoking. And when people give moms those messages, what it really winds up doing is discouraging the breastfeeding, not the smoking. So moms need information about the risks of smoking, but with an emphasis that most of these risks are unrelated to breastfeeding. They need accurate information about the risks of using formula in smoking versus the risks of breastfeeding in smoking. So if they're going to smoke anyway, we really want to indicate that there actually are additional risks to formula feeding if they choose to formula feed. And just, again, this isn't supposed to threaten moms, but to give them honest information about what the real risks are of whatever they're choosing to do so that they can make an educated decision. So breastfeeding promotion and smoking cessation can be addressed concurrently, but they really have to be considered separate goals, or if they're interrelated, that we have to look at ways to encourage both and not look at them as sort of these mutually exclusive categories. So as we continue to research these topics and to think about how we can advocate for both, you know, healthy feeding of babies through breastfeeding and, you know, reduction of smoking, we need to consider what physicians, nurses, and other health workers know and reveal to mothers about the safety of breastfeeding and smoking. It's very common for moms to come and say, my doctor said I couldn't breastfeed and smoke. To consider key social influences such as family members and neighborhood contexts. It's very hard if a mom is living in a household full of smokers to really advocate for herself as a non-smoker, or even to get everybody to smoke outside or whatever. You know, so family smoking cessation efforts rather than maternal smoking cessation efforts might really be a lot more effective for protecting infant health. And when we pile everything on the mom, we're just sort of reproducing this idea that it's a mother's sole responsibility to take care of children rather than a family responsibility or a dual parent, or you know, that all the adults in the family are responsible for caring for that child. And that we need to disentangle the risk that smoking poses to breastfeeding from the other risk factors that are often concurrent with smoking, such as poverty, education level, geographic location, and so on and so forth. So, you know, we really need to be advocates for alleviating poverty as well as some of these other kinds of issues. Hopefully we'll have lots of healthy babies. So we offer our sincere appreciation to the Maryland WIC program for sharing their data with us, and to Linda Kelly, who is our amazing administrative assistant.